Isaiah chapter 40, and let's read this chapter together, but let's take it a step beyond that. Let's enjoy this chapter together, amen, and focus in on what the Bible says as we just begin in verse 1 and read to the end of the chapter. Let's all stand this morning, if you're able, please, for the reading of God's Word, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All grass, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient to burn offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to read the Bible together. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help me as we teach and preach through this chapter and draw, Lord, what I think is the conclusion at the end of the chapter that you would have us draw. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of some very sacred things, some very important things. God, we get so busy in our little lives and so sometimes utterly impressed with our own smallness that we forget that there's a great and glorious God that makes all things possible. Forgive us even in our service for relying as much as we do on the flesh. Lord, help us to learn to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. Help us to understand what that means. Enlighten our heart, Lord, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is our text verse, although we'll be talking through the chapter some. Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I'm going to preach on this subject, the hardest lesson for a Christian to learn. The hardest lesson for a Christian to learn. Maybe I'm just giving my personal testimony. I will tell you this, I hate waiting. I'll admit it. It's one of the hardest things in the world for me to do. Waiting holds no appeal for me. I hate lines. We have developed a society with a herd them into lines mentality. People are everywhere, so businesses buy black seatbelt material, strap them to freestanding poles, and create mazes to herd the masses into orderly lines so that we can stand and wait, take a step and stand and wait, take a step and stand and wait, and take a step and stand and wait. Other businesses are not so bold to build black people fences. Instead, they present you just inside the door with a red dispenser and a sign firmly attached that politely encourages you to take a number. I hate taking a number. Whenever I pull out that small piece of paper and compare the number neatly printed on it with the number in red lights behind the counter, they never match. Most of the time, they're never even close. Now, fast food restaurants are so bold as to use both the black people fencing and the number system. You heard it through the black seatbelt maze, step and wait, step and wait, step and wait. And when you finally make it to the cashier, she takes your order, takes your money, and gives you a number. Not your food, a number. Now you proceed to the waiting area, where for several minutes you stand hoping to hear order 437. Many numbers are called while you clutch your receipt, look intently at your order number. You know, come on, 437. Feel like you're playing hamburger bingo. Other people's numbers are called and they push their way past you to get their order and then smirk at you when they make their way to the seats. Finally, your number is called. You pick up your tray and look to see that your waiting has been rewarded. On the tray lies a fish sandwich and fries when you actually ordered a double whopper and onion rings. But they do get your drink order right. They do this by giving you an empty cup turned upside down so that you can go stand in line and wait to get your drink. The word wait is not the word most of us want to hear. Amen? Yet learning to wait on the Lord may be the most important lesson we can learn as a child of God. Isaiah chapter 40 tells us in this, it's a chapter of encouragement written to a people who are about to go into the a most discouraging time. And most of you know your Bibles knows that Isaiah was a pre-captivity major prophet. His main message was one of upcoming judgment. Israel was destined to be overrun and defeated by Babylon. God's chosen people, because of their idolatry and disobedience, was going to have to suffer 70 years of captivity. And so up to this chapter, this is what we're taught and told, and it's not very good news. But when we get to chapter 40, God gives his people a beacon of hope. He tells them that at the end of the dark 70-year tunnel, there's a light. He tells them how to survive, how to endure, and how to eventually triumph, even through this time of great judgment. Let me just kind of break the chapter down for you for a few minutes. You like studying the Bible, learn a little bit about the Bible? Verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah chapter 40, God reminds Israel that He's a merciful God who will eventually pardon their iniquity. He reminds them that His judgment will not last forever. And to that I've got to say, amen. God encourages them that after disciplining His children, He always comforts them. His wrath will not last forever, and His mercy is greater than His judgment. And folks, if that wasn't so, we'd all be doomed to a devil's hell. Amen. So in verse 1 and 2, God reminds them that yes, they'll pay double for their sin, but you know what? God will pardon their iniquity. Verses 3 through 5, I like this. Isaiah predicts the coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. You know, in doing so, he reminds them that the promised one will someday come. Messiah will be sent. That there will be a day when he sits on the throne of Israel, bringing peace and justice to this wicked, warped, sin-cursed earth. And I think all of us in here could join John in praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verses 6 through 28 is just classic, and I would pray that you would take more time than I'm going to give it this morning. It certainly is deserving of more time, because in verses 6 through 28, Isaiah, by inspiration of God, gives us a powerful lesson on the greatness of Almighty God. We find in these verses that God is everlasting. We're reminded in these verses that He is all-powerful. We are reminded that He is all-knowing. We are rebuked for the silliness of idol worship, for the silliness of thinking that we can that God can be replaced by a piece of carved wood or a chunk of fashioned gold and silver. We're reminded that the one and true God sits upon the circle of the earth, and that the inhabitants are as grasshoppers in His sight. This is God's stern reminder to all of us that He is the Creator, and we are simply His creation. That He is eternal and we're temporal. That He is strong and we're weak. That He is holy and we're sinful. That He possesses greatness of might and strength and power. And that His greatness and strength never fails. Never fails. God reminds us that He never wearies. He never faints. He never tires. He's never confused. And He never fails. Amen. Now, we're getting to verses 28 through 31. And this is what we're going to focus on this morning. In these verses, we receive one of the greatest truths of the Bible. Now think about what we've been taught so far. We receive a secret of great worth, a lesson of intense importance, and here it is. The power of the eternal God, the strength of our Almighty God, the wisdom of our Almighty God is available to temporal, weak human beings. Our powerlessness can be replaced by His power. Our weakness can be replaced by His strength. Our foolishness can be replaced by His wisdom. Our humanity can receive a divine touch so that we can do what we ought, live as we ought, and accomplish what before was deemed an impossibility. Let me read for you again verse 27 down to the end of the chapter. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? And Israel and Jacob was making comments as if they were doing things that God could not discern, that they were a little bit of spiritual peekaboo with God, hide and go seek with God. That they could perform acts that God wouldn't notice, wouldn't see, and wouldn't discern. But that's not true. He said, why do you talk as if I don't know what's going on? I know exactly what's going on, God says. Then in verse 28, He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding? Now notice this. This next verse is fascinating. Notice the first two words. He giveth. He giveth. All these things that He has and all these things that He is, He's willing to give to somebody that will humble themselves before Him and just ask for a little divine touch in their life. He giveth power to the faint.
To them that hath no might, he increaseth strength.
And he says this, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But notice this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And folks, all of those things are supernatural things. What man here today tell me that when we walk out the door this morning that you can lift your arms and flap your arms and soar above the clouds as an eagle? What man in here dare tell me that he can run and run and run and never be weary, or walk and walk and walk and never faint? So what we're seeing here is that an all-powerful, almighty God says, you know what? If you'll wait on me, if you'll wait before me, I can take this great strength that I have, this great wisdom that I have. I can take all that I am, and I can touch your life and allow you to do in my strength what you will never be able to do in your own. And it is available. God's saying, I just don't have all of these things to display. I have these things to give. I have these things to share. And the honest truth is, folks, if we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord, we've got to get that divine touch. And that divine touch only comes through learning to wait upon the Lord. Let me say this. God wants to energize your spiritual life. The secret to this power is found in one word. Here it is. I know I hate it too. Wait. Before you can experience this, you must learn one lesson. Wait. In order to access God's divine power and strength and wisdom and knowledge, we must first master the ability to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, let me define this word. What do you mean, Brother Jerry, when the Bible's talking about wait here and the word wait? Tell me a little bit about this word. Let's get a good, solid Bible definition attached to this word so we know what we're talking about here. The word wait in the Hebrew is the word kueva. The word kueva means to bind together by twisting. I want you to think about this. Brother, I'm telling you what, this is exciting. To bind together by twisting, to gather together, to expect, to look patiently upon, to tarry. Isn't it interesting, that word tarry, don't forget that. But the root word comes the word from the word to take two things and bind them together as one by twisting them, by twisting them, by intertwining them. They that wait upon the Lord, those that are willing to intertwine themselves with God, to pay the price, to take the time, to allow God to come upon them and fill them and use them and empower them. And become, if you'll let me say this, co-laborers with the Lord in conjunction with Jesus Christ, with the power of God upon you, twisted together, bound together as one. Let me just show you what I think is happening. And this is very simplistic as an illustration. I'm going to risk on the edge of the pulpit one of my sacred coffee cups, of which I have such few. Let me tell you, this is our strength right here. That's us. That's us. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand here and we're going to lift that cup. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take our strength and we're going to put it through there and we're going to lift that cup. We're going to do it. You know, what the problem is, we just need to try harder. So let's just try a little harder here. Okay. I tell you, I know what the problem is. We just need to double our efforts. Let's double our efforts. We can do this. Yeah, let's just quadruple our efforts. Let's do that. And you know what, folks? That's us by ourselves. That's us without God. You say, well, Brother Jerry, I could take that string and I could figure out a way to lift that cup. I've already thought of how I could do it. Yeah, and at the end of it, you would have done it. It wouldn't mean a thing. Nothing divine happened. Nothing supernatural happened. But let me show you what God says here, and I just love this. God says, by the way, this is our strength, and I hate to take God's strength and use any human illustration for it, but for the sake of it, compared to our strength, this is God's strength right here. And God says this, listen, why don't you bind yourself to me?
And so, those of us that have learned, you know what? We by ourselves aren't much. And in the strength of our flesh, not a whole lot of good things happen. We just decide that we're going to not only accept God as our Savior, but we're going to tie ourselves to God. And then, notice what it said here, the thing it says, to bind together by twisting. So, you know, we decide we're going to get as close to God and live as close to God and become so dependent on God that we just twist ourselves to God. Amen. And God, you know what? I'm nothing and you're everything, but you've told me that you'll take a little bit of your power and give it to me if I wait on you. So I think, you know what, instead of charging through the day without even taking time to read my Bible, I think I'm just going to sit down and wait upon the Lord. Instead of deciding that I can figure out a way to get my needs met on my own, I think I'm just going to spend some time bowed before you on my knees, humbly in prayer. God, I'm going to just sit here and wait, and I'm going to let you take me and twist me onto yourself. And I'm not going to try to do things in my power and my strength because I'm frustrated and I'm tired of failing anyway. God, I want to see something that can't be explained away. I want to see something supernatural. I want people not to see the strength of Jerry Ross. I want to see God's strength. There's people that need wisdom, and Jerry Ross' wisdom won't help them, but God's wisdom can help them. There's lost people that need to see the power of God, and pretty soon you get all twisted together with God, and then you reach out, and guess what? You can pick that thing right up, and it's not you doing it anyway. It's Almighty God. Isn't that exciting? You getting that? Isn't that good? See, that's what this word means here. The word wait means to bind together by twisting, to gather together, to expect, to look patiently upon, to tarry. Now, let me talk to you just a few minutes, give you some truths about this matter of waiting, because I want to bring this down very practically to you today. Let me give you this. Number one, waiting cannot be accomplished by an unbeliever. Oh, Brother Jared, that sounds exciting. You mean the Creator of the universe, Almighty God, will allow us to bind ourselves to Him so that we can have a touch of the divine, a touch of the supernatural, and be able to perform things that are miraculous? Yes, but that's only available to born-again Christians, you see. God in His holiness cannot bind Himself to sinful man unless the blood of Jesus first has been applied. The only thing that allows us to partner with God in anything is because we've been forgiven, because we've been washed clean, because God has come down and done something in our lives. And let me say to each and every one of you that's here today, if you're trying to live your life in your power without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't have to convince you of it. You know that there's no way to do that. You know what it means to be a miserable failure because you can't do anything right without God. You just can't. So all these things may sound exciting, but if you're not saved, the first thing you need to do if you're going to wait upon the Lord and learn to wait upon the Lord is go seek forgiveness from the Lord. Come to God as that sinner. Say, Lord, I'm the one. I'm the one that's in need of salvation. It's not Mama's fault that I'm a sinner, Daddy's fault, or anybody else's fault. It's my fault. I'm going to take personal responsibility. I'm without Christ. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell, and I'll throw myself upon the mercies of Almighty God to ask Him to save me and forgive me. Jesus Christ, folks, I've got great news for you. Died on the cross, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again. That's the best news. He died for me. He died for you. He didn't stay dead. He rose again. Now He can offer to all of us eternal life. Now, Christians, let me have your attention. We'll talk to you the rest of the time. Waiting cannot be accomplished, number one, by the unbeliever. Number two, waiting involves the ceasing of human activity. Let me give you a verse, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That may be one of the most important verses that you grip and grasp and understand in your Christian life. Waiting involves the ceasing of human activity. You know what, folks? The way you wait upon the Lord is you stop. You stop the busyness. You stop the running. You stop the human effort. You just stop all human activity and you sit in the presence of Almighty God. I mean, be still means sit still. Sit still. We just are so determined that we're going to do it in our own strength, so we rely on our own strength. Let me say to you young people, notice please with me verse 30.
Brother Jerry, I'm strong and I'm young and there's so much that I can accomplish. The Bible says this, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I don't care how young you are, how strong you are, and how much vitality of human flesh you have. Let me tell you something. There's a limitation to what you can accomplish in the power of the flesh. And there'll be a time when your flesh will fail and you'll still get faint, you'll still get weary, and you know what? You can be busy in activity and still not experience the power of God upon your life and divine things happening. I love that word, tarry. That word, tarry, we need to rediscover that word. That's a good Bible word, tarry. What does wait mean? It means to cease human activity. It means to sit still, sit down, stop. Matthew 26:38, it says this, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Remember, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Takes three of the inner circle disciples and said, "We just tarry here and watch with me." Oh, we're too busy. Americans, aren't we? Come on. Jesus said, "Can't you just, you know, remember what he said when he rebuked him? Can't you watch with me 1 hour? Can't you watch with me 1 hour? When's the last time you gave God an hour? Honestly, what's wrong with us? Well, we don't have time. We got to do. Yeah, our flesh has got to do, but it doesn't get much done. Amen. Are you thinking with me? What's wrong with learning to tarry? Brother Jerry, I got so much to do today. You'll accomplish more in 1 hour tarrying and 9 hours of work than you will in 10 hours of work with no tarrying. You see, we need to learn to wait, because when we learn to wait before God, when we just cease human activity, when we just sit still in His presence, and maybe we've got His Word in front of us, and we've got an open heart, we just allow Him to fill us and energize us, we can so much better accomplish everything that He wants us to do that day. It's the honest truth. I wish I could convince everyone in this room of this. Brother Jerry, my bus route's doing pretty good. Are you tarrying? Then all you're accomplishing is what you can accomplish in the power of the flesh. Wouldn't you want to see something divine and miraculous happen on your bus route? You got to learn to tarry. That now, the word waiting involves the ceasing of human activity. It means just hold still and stopping. Remember the day of Pentecost? Are you listening? Let me give you a few more verses here about tarrying. Verse Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Brother Jerry, we got to win souls. Yeah, we do. We got to go into all the world. Yes, we do. But isn't it interesting that before the day of Pentecost, there was 10 days of tarrying, 10 days of inactivity, 10 days of sequestering away, 10 days of just praying before an almighty God and seeking His power and blessing. Isn't it interesting that Jesus prefaced the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel with this command, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I'm telling you that tomorrow, you can see divine things happen if you'll take some time before the day starts and tarry. I'm telling you, Sunday school teacher, no matter how good your class went this morning in your eyes, if you didn't spend some time tarrying this week, and if you would next week, you might see God get in that class and do something. Are you listening to me? Some of you got nursing homes, and you know what? Everybody here is busy. So you decide at the last minute what you're going to preach, and you rush in and you rush out, and you spent no time in the time of a month's time tarrying before God and asking God to do something supernatural. Folks, listen to me. We've got to learn to wait upon the Lord. Waiting involves the ceasing of human activity. Let me give you another thought here. Well, this would be good for us to learn. Waiting involves the ceasing of human noise. You know that word "be still" means sit still, but that word "be still" also means be quiet. I got to tell you this because it's just a hoot. I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I literally, I don't know when I've laughed so hard.
And I was so amazed by this instrument that I discovered that I found a scrap piece of paper in my billfold, and I sat down and I wrote out all the details about this important advancement in technology. Yesterday I went to see Mrs. Bowden in the hospital. Please pray for her. She had surgery on her foot and she's recovering. When I got there, they were attending to her, so I had to wait out in the hallway for a little while. As I'm standing there, I notice that there is a mechanical stoplight on a stand, like you would see hanging up here, patterned after that with red, yellow, and green lights. And it's on a white stand, and it's got all kinds of, a box of all kinds of wires and gadgets coming in and out of it. And above it, there's this sign, and it names this machine, and the name of this machine is called the Yakker Tracker. The Yakker Tracker. And what they've done is set this machine in the hallway outside of the patient's rooms. And so I begin to read about the Yakker Tracker. The Yakker Tracker is an amazing piece of technology. Now, green, if the light's green, and it was green while I was standing there, when the light's green, all is well, which means there's not a lot of human noise in the hallway. But if you start talking and keep talking and keep talking, it will turn yellow, and that means that you are a little too loud and you need to be quiet because you're going to disturb the patients. Now, if the light is red, then that means you just need to shut up because you're way, way too loud out there. So there I am with the Yakker Tracker, and there's nobody around, so what do you think I'm going to do? So I'm standing there, and it's on green, so I thought, well, how much talking do you have to do in order for it to turn yellow? So I start yakking to the Yakker Tracker. And I'm just saying all kinds of stuff, and it's not making any sense, and I'm trying to keep going. And sure enough, I talked loud enough, and the yellow light came on. And I thought, I'm going to get a little louder. So I start talking louder, you know, and making noise and scuffling my feet, and I got it all the way up to red. And then I seen a nurse come around the corner, and I shut down real quick, and after a few seconds, it went back down to green. The Yakker Tracker. You know, I'm going to order one for everybody in Blessed Hope Baptist Church to put in your house. Some of you need to install some in your car. I mean, folks, you know what be still means? Be still means be quiet. When in the world is God going to have a chance to get a word in edgewise? I'm going to say this, and you can throw something at me later. But technology's not our friend. A lot of this technology is not our friend. There used to be times when you could just go find somewhere where it was quiet. But you know what? That's almost an impossibility anymore. And some of you are addicted to this technology. You can't drive from point A to point B without having a cell phone stuck in your head the whole trip. And I'm helping you here if you let me help you. I'm not just anti-technology. What I am is anti-Satan's attempt to always keep us with our mind on everything but Almighty God. And why don't we soar like eagles? Why is it that we get so weary? Why are we so discouraged? Why do we faint so easily? Because we just won't be quiet and wait upon the Lord. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Folks, you know what? You're not going to be able to hear too much if you're talking all the time. When you get in the car, you know what? Why don't you just try a trip without the radio? Okay, and you know what? Every time your cell phone vibrates or buzzes, doesn't mean you have to pick it up. If you're in a conversation with somebody else and your cell phone rings, I mean, it's kind of rude. Well, if that's the case, if I'm in a conversation with Almighty God and something rings, I think it's kind of rude. So you know what? Technology is not always our friend. Well, we lived a long time.
and made it safely from point A's to point B's for a lot of years without having to have a telephone wired to us somehow. This is good for us. All right. It's okay. Amen. Yakker tracker. We need spiritual yakker trackers. You're in your car and you got the radio going and you're yakking on the cell phone and you need to look down and see a red light. And it's from heaven. It's saying, shut up.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you something. I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to commune with you. There's something I'd like to share with you. Hey, do you have any time for me? Do you have any time for me? We've lost the ability to wait upon the Lord. Man, get up in the morning, folks. Get up. Make you some coffee if you need coffee. I do. You say, that's terrible. I'm sorry, I'm terrible. But I like to have my coffee while I'm doing my devotion. Open the Bible. Be quiet. Read. And just let God talk to you. Just let Him tell you some things. Just let Him touch you in some ways. And lean back, close your eyes. Commune with Him for a while. Take the time to wait upon the Lord. You see, waiting involves the ceasing of human activity. We can't seem to stop. Waiting involves the ceasing of human noise, and we can't seem to be quiet. But waiting also, and most importantly, involves the ceasing of human reliance. Because that verse says, be still. Yes, it does, but it says, be still and know that I am God. You know, when we're quiet, we're still, we really get in communion with God, you know what? We go down about to that, and we realize that He's everything. Boy, when we get a hold of that, all of a sudden some things can begin to happen. You see, verse 29 says this, He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. You know, some of us think that we're so almighty, we don't need the Almighty. But we do. Folks, can I give you one of the greatest lessons that you can learn as a Christian? Learn to rely wholly on God and never on yourself. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Preacher, what's the reward of waiting? The reward of waiting is renewed strength and supernatural accomplishments, not because of who we are, but because of what He is. And God is a powerful, mighty, sovereign God. And yet He says, as weak as you are, as faint as you are, as temporal as you are, as carnal as you are, if you will wait before Me in My presence, I will twist you around Myself. And together we can live a life of the supernatural. We can do things that you can't imagine. We can fly at heights you can't imagine. We can run distances you can't think of. We can go for and without fainting. Listen, let me help you. Let me help you, mamas. Let me help you, wives. Let me help you, husbands. Teenager, I know it's hard, but God says, let me help you. Twist yourself onto Me. Bind yourself to Me. Wait upon Me. See that you can. Yes, you can. You can. And so tomorrow morning, this is the message for today. Tomorrow morning, let's live a supernatural day. Tomorrow morning, let's just set the alarm clock a little bit earlier. And let's just get the old book out. Have you not done that in a while? Let's get the old book out. Tomorrow morning, let's say, God, I'm just going to tell you first thing before I even walk out the door. I can't. I'm weak. I'll faint. I'll fail. And I got to have You, God. And God, I want You to know that. I got to have You today. I got to have Your strength. My strength's nothing. I got to have Your wisdom. My wisdom's nothing. God, I got to have Your power. I've got to have Your insight. I've got to have Your ability and strength to accomplish what I need to accomplish. I need You, God. And this big, giant, powerful, almighty, sovereign God looks down and says, let's see what we can't do today together. I've been waiting for somebody to take me up on Isaiah chapter 40. You want to fly, son? Let's fly. You want to run, son? Let's run. You want to walk and not faint? Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it together.
together.
Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd woo us to you this morning.
I pray, Lord, that we'd accept the invitation.
Lord, I thank you for this chapter that reminds us of the greatness of our God and the frailties of human flesh. And yet, Lord, the invitation, the encouragement that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, there's some Christians here and they're weary and they're faint. Lord, they need their strength renewed. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd give them that supernatural boost, that you would energize their spiritual life. Lord, I pray that you'd take this simple message and you'd get Christians back to God. Get us back relying on you and praying to you and spending time in your word, seeking your face. Forgive us, Lord, of the pride that we have that causes us oft times to believe that we can do it on our own. We can't. We pray, Lord, that you'd bind somebody to you today. You'd begin the twisting process to some old tired saint of God. Maybe the devil's been on somebody, telling them to quit, telling them they can't do it, they can't make it. Well, he's right. We sure can't on our own, but we sure can with God. I pray, Lord, that maybe some young person would say, you know what, preacher, I want to live a supernatural life. I want to live a God-touched life, a God-blessed life. I may only be a 12, but I want to learn to wait on God. I may only be 8, but I want to learn to wait on God. I may be 16, but I want to wait on God. I want to learn what that's about. Pray, Lord, that you do something in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.